come to this church long enough and hear me teach and preach long enough, you can get, I don't know, some kind of an associate's or some kind of good degree in understanding of music, because I tend to use music and music examples quite a lot in my teaching. And it's mostly just because that's what I know. That's what I'm the most comfortable with. It's what I have the most familiarity with. It's what I've done for the longest time. And I would encourage you that if you're thinking that in order to find a lot of depth and understanding in Scripture, or if you're trying to figure out how to teach something or how to help somebody understand some mystery of Scripture or the gospel, or wanting to talk to somebody about God, that you don't really need a degree and a deep depth of knowledge of Scripture and all of this. You don't need to be able to read the ancient Greek and to exegete the text, and you don't have to even know what exegete means and any of that stuff. You can use... Well, let me back up. The reason is that what we read about in Scripture is God working through people's lives. And it's God working through people's lives in very ordinary ways, working through people who were shepherds, working through people who were priests, working through people who were farmers, working through people who were warriors, working through people who were young and old and in the middle, and who were rich and who were poor. And it's God working through ordinary life. Now, it seems extraordinary when you read it in Scripture, but if you look at the people that God uses, they're ordinary lives. And so if you want to better understand how God is moving, how God is working, how to explain Scripture, you can get into the text and you can dig down and read about what it meant and what it meant to those people back then and how we can apply that now. But an also really helpful way of looking at it is to say, how can I apply some of the truths of Scripture through my own experience, through my own understanding, through my own expertise? Whatever it is that you know, whatever it is you understand, if it's music like me, or if it's computers, or if it's history, or if it's, I don't know, I ran out of examples. But it, whatever it is that you do, whether it's sales or it's, no, see, that was my only other example. Whatever it is that you do, I don't know, all of you do different things. People listening online are going to say, oh, I do different things with that. Whatever it is, there's an applicable message that you can teach through Scripture, through the thing that you do. And the thing that makes it so much helpful to do that, that makes it personable to the individual. And you're going to be able to share it in a way that seems genuine and authentic, that because it's coming from personal knowledge. And it has a flip side, because it's not just you sharing something to them, but it's also you being able to see the Scripture as it applies in your own life, and it makes it very personal to you as well. And it helps us see that it's not God in this book only, and it's not God only through the time that we're praying and we're connecting with Him that way, but it's God in all things. It's God all the time. It's God in every aspect of our life, looking and seeing and caring for us and understanding where we are and what we do and wanting to be engaged and involved. It just so happens that the stories that are in Scripture are about people that were shepherds and warriors and sailors and people like that. If it was written today, I think there would be a lot of different applications, but the story would remain the same. So I want to share with you one such application for myself. In music, there's something you learn about generally when you get into the dynamics of sound, when you start to understand how sound is processed and used and the function of it. But it's something that in one way or another, every musician, every composer, every sound engineer understands, whether they know these specific terms that I'm going to use or not. Because it's impossible to really get deep into music without understanding the nature of instruments and the nature of sound. Sound has something and is created using something called an envelope. The envelope of sound is the full scope of the sound from its beginning until its end. That's called the envelope. In fact, if you go to a lot of digital pianos or instruments or processors, they'll have something on it that's called the ADSR. The ADSR are the symbols that recognize each element, that represent each element of the envelope. The symbols are, there's the attack. The attack, the A, the attack is the beginning of the sound. It's when the sound is initiated. When you clap, when you sing, when you hear a whistle, when you play an instrument, there's an initiating of that sound. And that is generally some kind of a ramp up. Some are more steep, some are more gradual. But all reach an apex of that sound, of that attack. Immediately following the attack, you can kind of imagine, if you want to, I have it drawn in my notes here, but you can't see that, but it looks very much like a mountain range, peaks, valleys, and flat places. It goes up for the attack, and then immediately after the attack has reached its apex is what's called the decay. There's attack, and then there's decay. There's a third element called sustain. Sustain is after the initial attack has happened and a bit of decay, then that sound level is maintained for a period of time. Once the sustain has ended, will be the release. A, attack. D, decay. S, sustain. R, release. All instruments produce this sound, this envelope, differently. In a wind instrument, the attack can be achieved in many different ways. There's breath attacks, there's tonguing attacks, and there's various degrees of rise to get the attack at the beginning. And then there's, after the initial pop of the sound, there's a bit of a decay. But wind instruments have the ability to sustain that sound for a very long period of time, up until the fact that the person has no more air to blow. Once that sound is done, once their air in their lungs is over the length of the note, the sound will decay, or will... what was that R word again? Release, yes. It'll release and fade away to nothing. String instruments have the ability to attack the sound and then sustain the sound for an indefinite period of time. They can continue to bow and hold that note for as long as they would like, and then decay it, then release it. I have the letters literally in front of me, and I still can't get them in the right order. Like, they're right there. It even says the words, and I still can't did it. This is the problem with speaking of things you think you know. This is what happens. The most interesting, though, the most interesting of all of them to me is one particular group of instruments. I'm going to use one instrument in particular to focus on because it's the one I'm the most familiar with, the piano. The piano is a very interesting instrument. It's one of the most popular instruments out there because of its functionality and its use, and it's been popular for a few hundred years. It's written for by the greatest composers. I mean, we have Beethoven and Chopin and Mozart, Haydn, Brahms and Tchaikovsky and Schumann and Schubert and Shostakovich and Rachmaninoff, and all of these people have written amazing works for the piano. When you go and buy greatest hits of the classics, about half of them will be written for the piano or involve the piano in some way or another. They are performed by some of the greatest musicians that have ever lived, these piano pieces. And the piano is used by every person who studies music at a collegiate level. It's a required instrument for everyone to know how to use. And yet the piano has a very interesting problem. It's missing one of those elements of its envelope. You see, the piano has the ability to... I shut off the sound over there. Has the ability to attack sorry about that, has the ability to attack the sound like this. You can hear that after I play the sound, it initially is loud and then it starts to get quieter. That's the decay, the attack and the decay. But there's a problem with the piano. The piano has no ability to sustain. No amount, be careful where you walk up here, no amount of pressing the key, of hitting it harder, holding it down, trying to do anything with the pedals or any of the other features on the piano will allow you to sustain a constant level of sound. The piano is what is called a decaying instrument. It means that the sound cannot be sustained. It goes attack, decay, release. It's interesting that that famous popular instrument lacks that very important feature. But it's a feature that all those who play it, all those who write for it, must recognize, or else they won't understand how to use it properly. I imagine that the piano must be very much like how God sees us in our life. That He must see how He has to work with us, how He has to use us, how He has to work out the things that He wants to work in our lives, very much the way a composer or a musician understands how they have to use the piano if they want it to function properly. David understood this. In Psalm 103, David writes that as for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, but then the wind passes over it and it's gone. And its place knows it no more. He wrote in Chronicles when he was speaking to Solomon and praying for the people. In 1 Chronicles 29:15, the very end of the book of 1 Chronicles, he writes that we are only here for a moment, that we are visitors and strangers in the land as our ancestors were before us. Our days on earth are like a passing shadow, and very soon they're gone without a trace. This is the human condition, right? The human condition is such that we have a limited amount of time on this earth. Moses wrote that we should number our days. He says, Lord, teach us to number our days so that we can get a heart of wisdom. Jesus, in Matthew and in Luke, talking to the people, said that no matter what we want to do, we can't add a single day to our lives. No matter how much pressure we want to put on ourselves, no matter how much worry or stress or strain, no matter how hard we want to attack our lives and we want to go after something, not a single thing that we can do will add one more day to our lives. He says it this way, which of you by worrying can add 1 hour to your life? We have no sustain in our lives. We cannot, like the piano, by pressure or by intent, add or lengthen or stretch our lives. And so Moses very wisely says we should order our days. We should number our days. In other words, we need to be aware of this quality, of this decaying quality, of our brevity, of our brief time that we have on the earth, that we need to be aware of it. Just like the composer, the musician, the conductor, the performer needs to have knowledge about the envelope of every instrument that they write for. especially the decay and the sustain. Because if you say, I want to write for the piano and I'm going to write a note that's going to last for 5 minutes, you can't. It isn't physically possible. There's a limited amount of time. But the better you understand the limits, the better you have an awareness of the full envelope, the attack, the decay, the sustain, and the release, the better aware you are at that, the better you are to utilize those features and to highlight the unique qualities that they possess. See, that's very important to understand, is that the piano is a great and a popular instrument for all it can do, and it's not all it can do in spite of the fact it has no sustain. It's the fact that it does not have a sustain that gives it its unique qualities. The decay of the piano is not a weakness. It's one of its most important features, because it's the decay that makes you have to take advantage of every moment of the sound. Every moment that you hold the note must be thought through. Every length of sound, every attack that you make, every touch, everything has to be well crafted and well thought out, because you only get that one. You can't hold the note longer and say, that's not what I meant to do, let me make it a little louder. You only get the one, and the sound will begin to fade. And so every moment counts. Every attack matters. Every detail of the sound is important. Every composer, every musician understands and knows this. They understand how to use the instrument to its fullest. It's not a tool. It's an art form. They know how to draw the most out of every moment of sound. Nothing is taken for granted, and especially nothing happens by chance. It's all accounted for, and it's all planned. But like I say, that doesn't mean it isn't supposed to be amazing. The fact that it decays, the fact that it dies, doesn't mean it's not supposed to be spectacular. Think about what David wrote again in Psalm 103. You're at the very beginning of it, of that passage in verse 15. He says, man, his days are like grass. But then listen to the word. He flourishes like a flower of the field. What it means to flourish, it means to thrive. It means to blossom. It means to be incredible. He flourishes like a flower of the field. Isn't that what Moses told the people when he was giving them the laws in the desert before they went into the land that God was preparing ahead of time for them? Isn't that what he said? Be careful to do these things, to obey these laws, to follow these ways, so that it may go well with you in the land that I'm preparing, so that you may thrive, so that you may flourish, you and your children and your children's children. We are not meant to go, oh, my days are limited. Oh, I am decaying and I am weak and I don't have enough and I can't do anything to sustain my life. Therefore, it's all pointless. We are to say, yes, I cannot sustain my life. My life from the apex is going to be on decline. And yet, it is meant to be a beautiful decline, a beautiful flourishing. That note that you play on the piano will never be louder than it is at its apex and its peak. It will never be louder than that. Sometimes we think and we misunderstand that the loud is the best moment. We misunderstand and think that the most noise, the loudest sound, the attack, that's the moment that makes the biggest impact, that's the most amazing part of the sound. What we have to understand is that the decay of the sound is not a weakness. It's the unique quality. Because even though it will never get louder than it will at its apex, every moment there is beauty. At every part of the sound, there is beauty. There will never be another day like today for you. You see it. We got through recently watching the Olympics, and you see people that hit the height of their career at 13. You see people sometimes that hit the height of their career in their 20s or their 30s. Some people don't reach the height of their career or the height of what God has called them to do until they're in their 50s or their 60s. And some people don't realize what God has got planned for them till they're well into their 80s, maybe even their 90s. That attack can look so different. Sometimes it comes on fast and then decays for a long period of time. And I think if you look at that moment that you say, this was the best, then the rest of it looks regretful and sad, disappointing. The truth is, that apex is simply one of the moments. And at every moment that it decays, the sound is incredible. At every moment, there's a different nuance. Every musician, every composer knows that the different level of sound has a different impact, has a different feeling, has a different nuance. And in fact, very, very many piano compositions take advantage of the fact that the piano has a decaying feature. They write a word, and I'll teach you another music word. It's called morendo. Morendo is an Italian word, and it literally means dying. And what morendo they write at the end of the song, and they'll tell you to play a note and hold the note and keep holding it until the sound has completely faded away. And as the sound fades, a curious thing happens. Everyone listens so much closer. Everyone notices so much more detail. Loudness is flashy, but it's sort of right there in your face. The slow decay has so much beauty. So what's the application? What's the point? I think it's very simply this, that every moment counts. How we use the moments of our lives matter. We are not put on this earth for one pivotal moment, one apex moment that is life-changing and amazing and everybody sees. No, no. No. We're put on earth for that moment and the next and the next and the next and the next for as long as we have numbered days to do it. And every moment counts, and how we use them matters. Our life, our time on earth is short. We are but a moment, a brilliant fading light. What will our impact be? Will it be that our name is remembered? That's not what I see in Scripture. It says the wind passes over the flower and it's gone, and its place knows it no more. Not that our name is remembered, but that our name is written in the book of life. The Westminster Shorter Catechism says that the chief end of man is to glorify God. It's the responsibility of composers and musicians to understand how to use the instrument to its fullest potential and extent, to extract every possible nuance of sound that they can. If we will let Him, God will use our lives that way. God understands that our lives are this brilliant but fading light. He understands. If we'll let Him, He will extract every nuance, every moment, every sound, every detail. And people will be drawn in to the beauty of our lives at every moment. The chief end of man is to glorify God. What's the chief aim of flowers and grass, trees, plants? It's to produce seed for the next generation so that the next generation can grow. Our goal, our impact in every moment should be to glorify God to the best of our ability and to always work to produce seeds in the people that we encounter, in the conversations we have, in the prayers we make, so that we leave something for the next generation, not our name, not our great deeds that we did, not that we are remembered, but that God is lifted, that God is remembered, that we leave something behind so that the next generation may grow. In everything we do, we can see the hand of God. We can see His movement, whether it's in the way we make sound, whether it's in the job He's called us for, in the conversation we have randomly at the coffee shop or the grocery store. In everything, there's an element that we can glorify God and that we can pass something on to others. I hope you're encouraged today to think that there is no element in which God's hand hasn't touched. There is no mundane thing. It doesn't take super deep knowledge of Scripture and the Greek and the texts and historical accuracy to understand how God moves and works in our lives. He wants to engage with you at every moment, at every level, and with every detail.